and hangout time. I know some of us had some heartaches.
I heard a few things around the world. Some people having accidents and flat tires, car breaking down, sicknesses. But God has given us good health, and we're all back together. So we're going to start off with a prayer, and we'll get to the message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's so good to fellowship, to greet one another, to give hugs, to catch up. There's something so special about fellowship. And it's amazing how the people in the Bible, they devoted almost every day. They just couldn't keep away. And they just wanted to catch up. And God, it just really revives our soul. Lord, thank you for each one of us here bringing us back from the holiday break, back to Cornerstone. And Lord, we enjoyed our fellowship at house churches last week for the Thorns and George is hosting it. And God, just the togetherness. Lord, as we move to the new year, help us, God, to grow as a church together. As we talk about finances today, that no one will stumble, but will look at the scriptures deep down into their lives and be able to align their hearts with God's word. Thank you for the people who are visiting today. We welcome back everybody, Lord. Warm our hearts with fellowship, with the word of God, and maybe some good old food and fellowship after. Thank you so much. We all pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. How's everybody doing? Everybody had a good fellowship? Good time? Did the holiday break? How many of us? No, I should just ask maybe the men. But anyway, I put on a few pounds. I don't know about you. I'm gonna ask you how many of you did. But here's what I did. The weekend in Canada, I put on a few, came back and I back to normal. But this weekend I was busy with the retreat. I didn't get time to work out. Even though I stood maybe for 6 hours together, maybe I lost a few pounds. But I'm gonna hit the gym today. Amen. Want to remind the campus that we have a planning meeting today at 12 o'clock. So stick around. It's going to be right here, and it's going to be a great plan for the year. All right. That's the theme of the year, to soar.
Yeah, bro, come on.
In Isaiah 40, we'll come next week, in the next few weeks in Jan, to expand on this point, but I just want to let everybody know we had a great leadership retreat. We had 18 people come. We went to Grand Haven, and we got inspired. We got a lot of fellowship, a lot of teaching, a lot of planning, what went good in 2017, what we can pick up, and we're going to take off in 2018. We're going to soar as a church. I just want to give you a heads up, you're going to be called higher. So I hope that this month, we're going to be calling people higher to the standard of the Bible, which we always have, but even more deeper way. So you won't be neutral or drift back, right? We're just going to move forward. Amen to that? All right, cool. Today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic called the finances. I haven't preached or talked much. I have the other brothers do it. But today, I'm going to just talk openly about my life and about the church. And I hope you're ready for, some of you maybe need to put your seatbelts on. Some of you don't need because you're ready. It's a very interesting topic, finances, right? We deal with that every single day. We think about it, maybe every hour. We go to the gas station. We go to the store. We come to church. You go home. You put on the TV. You're on the computer. You pay a bill. A bill comes to the door. In fact, even when you see the postman, I'm thinking about the bills. Right? You think about end of the week, paycheck. End of the month, paycheck. Something doesn't work. There's no heat. You think about money, right? I mean, there's so many factors. Money is incorporated. And so there are some facts. I just picked a few. There are a lot more. God talks a lot about money in the Bible. Nearly half of the parables, Jesus talks about money. There are 500 verses approximately about prayer and faith, but 2,350 verses on money alone. 15% of everything what Jesus taught was about money and possessions. A little bit later on, the last slide, we're going to talk about one parable about the money. Why am I talking about it? Because it affects you spiritually. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. And throughout the whole message, I want us to see the connection between our spirituality and about money. And I hope you can make that connection more and more, because sometimes we don't think. But I want us to think spiritually, not just about money, but spiritually. God allows you to have a certain job in your lifetime. When I was 22, I got $3.25. Okay? That's all I got. After taxes, it was a monthly, I think $500 a month. After taxes, maybe $420. I got a little bit $420 that month. And I remember in 1986, when I was in my third year as a student, my dad lost his job. Because that was the lifeline. Not only he lost his job, he couldn't stay in a foreign country. He had to exit the country. His visa runs out in 30 days. Go figure that one. That means you got to close down everything where he lived. He lived in Kuwait, where I grew up, for 35 years. He has to wind up all the bank accounts, sell all. You can't take all your furniture back home to India. You got to let it all go, sell it. There was no garage sale. We didn't have any garage to sell. It was just an apartment paying rent. And I just found out why I was here. I don't know the burdens they went closing down house in 30 days, not just leave the house, sell the car, but to move to another country back home and never come back. And I remember talking to my dad and mom and said, you know, we can't support you anymore. And I understood. It's not because of an attitude, but they didn't have any funds. Well, God was teaching me about money. He's teaching them, but teaching me now. What am I going to do? I got a year and a half of college to go. Where in the world am I going to get the money to pay whatever I'm paying? Finish it up, and that's the same year God called me to go on the mission field. Go figure that one. So I had to gear up, get another $500 a month, at least. $1,000, I can't remember exactly the amount, how many dollars I needed back in the day. But I needed enough to survive to pay my rent, my car, my gas, pay contribution, amen? And still survive and have no debt before I go on the mission field, because that was one of the conditions. You gotta clear up all debt. You can't take your debt in America and go on the mission field in India and start paying. That's peanuts. I was getting only $50 a month as an intern back in the day. $50, you can't pay any debt. Anyway, I had to really rely on God. I had to really trust God that God will take care of me. And I did learn it earlier on in my Christian life. I survived. I worked hard, 60 hours a week. I even skipped church at one point because I was dire straits. But I had Bible talk and I had Bible studies going at the same time. So just I can work on Sunday, I would work 16 hours a day. 16 hours on Saturday. That was 32, and then another 8, 40, and the rest of the week I'm studying the Bible with people, I'm studying computer science. I had a shift, I had to rearrange the way I'm thinking. And sometimes God will throw you into a curveball. He will throw you off, pull that rug maybe, just to shake you up a little bit, to trust God and not money. At that point, do not have an attitude towards God or people of the church. I wish I didn't give my contribution so I can keep it and survive. Well, that's where budgeting comes in. And I'm proud of the brothers who, yesterday, we all came in a consensus. Thank you, Ron. You're going to teach the whole year about finances, how to be responsible on saving, budgeting, how to cut down debt. We're going to be a healthy church, not just 10 to 12, but we're going to be healthy throughout the week, throughout the year, throughout our life. Amen, church? So 1 Timothy 6, if you like math, you may like this equation. I thought it was a cool picture. All right. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. You believe in that? Do you know anybody in the funeral, they're holding money and they're taking it with them? I just need to know. I mean, I don't know of any story. But if we have food and clothing, that will be content with that. God is saying, Paul is saying to Timothy, just be happy with what you have. Just be happy. If you have only $30 left for the month, be happy with $30. If God gives you $300 left, then $300 it is. If it is $3,000, then it's $3,000. But whatever you have, being content, don't focus your heart on it. Don't. God didn't say don't have money. He said just don't love it. That's it. We need money. When you pay the bills, we've got to take care of each other. We want to treat one another. I want to treat the brothers. We want to treat each other, right? Come on, let's go for a coffee. I don't know how many times in so many restaurants they give me free coffee. I don't know why. These days, I'm not even asking. They're just giving you. It's on us. You've been coming for a while. I stopped going to Dunkin' Donuts, so I don't get any more freebies there because I stopped my coffee there. And tea is not up to my mark anyway. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. There are a lot of sad people in this world because their desire and their greed for money, for more dollars, for the green. They want to hold. They feel, you know, you ever notice why babies and kids want toys? Because that makes them secure. There are a lot of stats on that. These days, a cell phone, wallets, cars, computer, They want to hold something to make them secure. Maybe a burger. Oh, I love this burger. I want you to reflect about your life. The times when you're sad. I'm not talking about funerals. I'm not talking about tragedies or accidents or had a flat tire. But money-related griefs. Make a list. I shared my story, but I quickly had to snap out of it. I got to be resourceful. I got to pray, step out in faith, and become fired up in Jesus, ready to study, knowing God's going to provide me. And He's going to provide me to get me ready to clear up all my debts and get fired up and go to the mission field. I mean, that was all in 1 year. I had no time. My visa's running out. Not just for my dad. Visa's running out for me to get fired up. So God will throw, He's preparing me. He was preparing me for the journey. At a young age, even before the field. And so when I see in the churches around, when people go through a lot of struggles, I know God's working on their heart. I know that discipline will come when you really love God. And that is from the Lord. He wants to refine you so He can use you in the next 20, 30 years. He's setting it up. If only you can see that. Too many people wander away from God's Word. Too many. They give up too fast. How could God do that? Well, He's trying to make you trust Him. That's it. I want to share a few scriptures here. God's heart about money. I know, thank you, Arthur, for sharing 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Setting aside weekly. You know, it's going to take discipline. And we had a great discussion with the leadership and board recently. And even last night, yesterday evening, we had a great discussion. And a couple of leaders said, hey, you know what? If every member every week puts $5 more, that's it. Every member puts $5 per week, each person, then we will have $10,000 by the end of the year. Because right now it's a shortfall of $10,000. That will cover all the expenses. We're dipping into our deposit. I know in 2 weeks we're going to have a financial meeting, and Ron and the whole board's going to come up and do a presentation. It's going to be a jubilee time. Amen. It's going to be good. It's going to be a potluck. It's going to be the other hall. Amen. It's going to be really a family time. Amen. People are like, when can we go there? Well, we're going on the 21st. Amen. And we're very fired up about James 2. More details will come, details from the board. Because there's going to be some transitions in the board, so really prepare our hearts for that. We're excited about it. But so we can meet the needs of the church, but we want to hire a campus minister, another staff person. And our campus ministry is growing. Amen to that. It's growing, and I'm wearing a lot of hats, and Pam and I are being stretched. We need a campus minister here. And so we need more funds, more extra, and I know a deposit will come and help out from Detroit, but we would, as a church, be more self-sufficient. Amen to that? Amen. And I know we can do it. We're more disciples than ever before. We got more people coming in. If you're visiting with us, no pressure, it's up to you. You're not obliged to give. But if you want to give and help and build the campus ministry here in Grand Rapids and Calvin and Cornerstone, amen to that. And I'm praying for Kalamazoo this year too, that we can have monthly Bible talks in Western Michigan. Amen, Dave? I know Dave's pretty fired about Kalamazoo. He got family there. God's opening doors. And by faith, we're going to send a team in 2019. Talk to Joel, talk to Mark, they're excited. We're going to do this. And my heart is, even if they don't do it, we're going to start something. We're going to do a satellite church. We're going to have a Bible talk. We're going to have some studies. It's time to move. We're too comfortable, church. It's time to step out and do something for God. Not just do for yourself. Do it for God. We can do it, brothers, with the help of God. Amen to that. Another scripture. We're going to look at the parable in Luke 16. We'll come back to that. But in Matthew 6:20, it talks about put your treasures where? I don't think it says in your pocket. Or different accounts in the world, even though we need help to survive on this earth. Amen. But let's put our treasures in heaven. That's what it's talking about. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Let's turn there. It's a good scripture. Proverbs 3. How are you feeling? Did your seatbelts come off? Some people tell me, well, you guys always talk about money every week. Well, no. Because if you come every week, it's not every week. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. What should you do? If God gives you and blesses you with great wealth, gives you a bonus, gives you extra pay, right? I heard 18 states in America, the minimum wage is going up. God's going to bless you, bless people. Amen? That's good news, right? But honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. So whatever God gives you. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. It's conditional. It's based on your heart. And your vats will brim over with new wine. You know, it goes on to say that how God really, this is God's heart. He wants you to give it all for the Lord, and then God will fill you up. Now, that's the test of your faith. And finally, we look at Luke 16, and then we'll take the bread and the wine. In Luke 16, the parable of the shrewd manager. Okay, I'm going to make a couple of good points there, and then we'll take the bread and the wine together. Luke 16. Is everybody there? Okay. So the whole point of this parable is God's looking for spirituality with your money. Okay? He's looking at how do you connect your heart in a spiritual way with the money God gives you. For the students, it could be a student loan. For those who are more mature in age and you've been around for a while, God will give you a loan from the bank, right? To maintain a house and that kind of thing. How do you manage it? Okay, so Luke 16, let's look at verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager were accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in. Have an accountability meeting there. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. Man, did you ever have talks like that? I had talks like that. I was having an insurance company in Chicago. My manager would call me because I was managing my own small business there. Hey, so, accountability time. How's it going? The manager said to himself, self-talk here, what shall I do now? My master's taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. And I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes. He's thinking to himself all this stuff, right? So he called in each of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now here are the spiritual points here. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Christ. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. God gives you responsibility in your life. It could be small, it could be big, but here's talking about God will give you to test your heart. What will you do with it? And if you take care of a little bit, God gives you more. And I really believe that in my life, and I've seen that in tons of people around the world. But God is saying, you know what? If you can't take care of a little what I'm giving you, then how am I going to give you true riches? I want to share about two brothers. I won't say their names. They are around the world. They may be listening. One brother, so Pam and I went to a lot of retreats and conference, and we were on the mission field, and we went for our conference for a week. And this brother, we came back, he confessed everything what happened. I had loaned him my bike to take care of the bike for a week. You know, one of those mopeds. And he confessed and he said, you know what, I'm sorry. I lost the bike, I crashed it somewhere, and I couldn't find it. Then I had to call the cops. And I'm very sorry about it. And I'll fix it. I'll do whatever it takes. Man, I was really blown away by that. Because he couldn't find it for a week. And I ran out of gas. Something happened. He just he abandoned the bike. He was so scared. And then I think he felt really bad. And he told the cops, I want to find the bike. And then finally he found the bike. Praise God. And everything was all set. By the time he came, everything was all good. Amen. Drama in a week. Trustworthy. Today, he's doing so well around the world. He even became the Hope CEO at one point. Run the whole projects in India. I mean, that's a big responsibility. He called me a few months ago. I think we were having time with Tony and Deb and the Olive Garden. We were having a great time. And he calls me from Australia, thanking me for all the lessons being taught and the discipling. He's so grateful. He's fired up, doing excellent. A little bit, God gave him a lot. True riches. True riches, I really believe it's souls. I really believe that. But then there was another brother. We went for another conference, another city. And we came back from our conference and retreat, I think it was a few days. The TV was missing. Was not in the house. So I thought somebody broke into the house and stole the TV. And I asked a few people and no one knows what happened to it. You know what I'm saying? You come back from your vacation, you know, We are open door policy. People will walk in the house, they'll have meetings and all that. We'll be gone, and you know, just an open house thing. So no one told me what happened to the TV. I knew something happened. You just cannot disappear like that. So finally found out that it broke. He had accidentally hit the TV, and the whole TV, big, one of those big ones back in the late 90s, he just fell. He had knocked by accident. He knocked the whole thing down, crashed it 1,000 pieces. Finally, I found out who the person is. He didn't tell me anything. I had to find all this out. Had a talk with the brother. How are you feeling? Oh, not so good. What happened, bro? What happened, bro? And he told me the whole story, and he apologized. You know, he wasn't that honest, and he didn't decide to pay me back or buy me or whatever or repair the thing. And so I had learned to forgive both the brothers, but I see the scripture that some are honest and trustworthy. They change and become awesome for God. But some don't become honest. They try to cover up. They're not faithful. They don't do good in their future. Because they think they can get away from God. Because here, God says, listen, I know your hearts. You're serving the Pharisees. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. What does God value? Money? No, your heart. What are you going to do with the money? I was talking to a brother recently. And he's a great friend. He's a pastor friend here in Grand Rapids. He was just sharing about a story that one of the members stole money from the church. One of the ushers. They would pocket the money every Sunday afternoon. He will come in, break in, he'll take the money, and they don't know who it is. They finally tracked him down. They didn't take him to jail. They forgave him. But he never repented. God looks for spirituality among us. You know, God will expose your heart in the church, outside the church, in any country, in any city, in any circumstance. No one's going to get away. That's what God says. God can see it. And I really want to close it up here that God values honesty and faithfulness and integrity. We stumble, we struggle. It's being open and getting help, and changing and growing. And so when we do that, God gives you more. God wants to give you true riches. God wants to give you more souls. God wants to bless you abundantly. But if you can't handle a little bit, then God's not going to. And so I want to encourage the church as we have the bread and the wine. Don't get caught up with what's happening around the world and your status and your symbol and what people think, or your job, or your position, just forget all that. But just look at the heart. How my spiritual walk with God? Am I faithful? Can God trust me with money? Because God says, I want to give you more. He wants to. And so with that, I'm going to close it up, and let's go ahead and pray. At this time. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God, for the scriptures. Thank you, God, for Christ talking to everybody today, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll take to heart the scriptures. Thank you, Father, for our hearts to serve and give. And Lord, thank you for the church here in Cornerstone. Thank you, God, that we can be together. Lord, if there's some way that the Word of God has touched our hearts and that we will become more faithful, more honest, clear all our deceits away, Lord, that we will confess. Maybe there's something in the past we have done and we haven't talked to anybody, Lord, that we will reflect and come clean, and let's have an incredible 2018, Lord. You want us, Lord, to bless us with true riches. God, help us not to be the Pharisee, but God, help us to be the hearts. What you value is our heart. Pure and holy and faithful and trustworthy. Thank you for each one of us here, Lord. Thank you for protecting us this year. Thank you for the new blessings you're going to give us, Lord. Some of us may get a great raise. Maybe we'll get a great job. Maybe some of us may even lose a job, Lord. But God, whatever it is, Lord, as Paul told Timothy, to be content with what we have. Help us be content. Thank you so much for the Son of God, how you came down to the earth and gave it all up for us today. Help us remember the cross. As you sang earlier on, Lord, I need you. God, we need you, God. We're weak. We need help. That we will be open and we'll be honest in getting help. That we will ask each other. That even this week in our triads, in our groups, in our discipleship groups, that we will sit down and be able to confess and talk. And God, have pure hearts. And God, as we change and grow in 2018, that we can inspire another person to come to Christ by our life, by our change. And not that we are perfect, God, but God, that we can change through your help, through your Holy Spirit. Help us remember the cross every day of our lives. God, we love you so much. Help us have an incredible campus planning meeting. Help us, God, have an incredible day, a great week. We love you. In His name we pray.